Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 243, recorded March 16th, 2015.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, hello.
Who's with us this week?
You'll notice Russ is sporting his low, sexy voice this week. Which means he's kind of sick. But that's okay. It's still sexy. See, I like to make him blush when we're making it. You can't see it. But I think it's funny. Now he's laughing at me. Anyways, we have Mick in Carnforth, UK, Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
Okay, cool. How shall we start?
Let's do Mick first.
Oh, wait, you know what?
Because you have him first on the page.
We can. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He says, I was listening to the latest podcast on the way home yesterday when the subject of aquarium safe disinfectant came up. I use a product called F10 disinfectant, which is a veterinary grade aquatic safe product. This can be used as a net dip or antibacterial sterilizer. We use it for cleaning and sterilizing all our bowls, vivariums, tanks, nets, and surfaces. Here's a link to the product page for it, and so we'll put that up for you. So that sounds cool.
Yeah, and I started looking into it to see if you could find it in the U.S., but I didn't have a chance to finish doing that. But hopefully we can find the same product here.
Well, if it's online, you can order it online. It's just probably be a lot of shipping.
Right, but I'm just, that's why I'm hoping there's a domestic shipper for on our side of things. So I think that would be helpful. And this is in response
to... Let's just take a trip to the UK and we can get some while we're there.
Possibly.
That's cheaper, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, come on.
But Tony was asking about what we use to disinfect tanks. And so thank you, Mick, for responding to that. That's... some good information. We hope I need to follow up on that and find more about it here.
And so. Mick also has something else fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, and now the adventures of the traveling hedgehog. The internationally famous pygmy hedgehog, as featured on Aquarimax, seems to be working on developing an act as an escapologist. Sunday afternoon, he was spotted climbing on the sidebars of his cage run, but seemed more enthusiastic than successful. He must have honed his skills, as at 3 a.m. in the morning, Claire and I were awakened by a scratching noise at the side of our bed. We put the light on to see he had escaped his cage and made his way out of the animal room and into our bedroom. He was busy hiding behind the bedside cabinet, chewing one of Claire's bed socks she had kicked off in the night. So we put him in his travel box for the night and managed to get back to sleep. I decided that he couldn't possibly scale the glass sides of an old aquarium we had, so I put him in there while we get him a vivarium on order. Not to be outwitted, last night there again was a scratching and shuffling noise from inside the animal room. I decided to get up and double-check what he was up to, and lo and behold, he was out again and trying to tunnel his way behind a cabinet. A new solid wood piece across the top of the aquarium weighted down heavily tonight. We are currently thinking of renaming him Houdini or Spider Hog. Best fishes, a very tired Mick.
Well, when you're awakened by hedgehogs at the wee hours of the morning, I can't blame you. Wow.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. That is amazing. A hedgehog that can scale glass. Have to see, it has some sort of mutated gecko feet or something.
Maybe it jumped really high.
You know, that makes me think, I'm going to make a call out to all the Aquarimaxers out there. Fish escape stories.
Oh.
Okay. Like the one that some of you may remember from a long time ago, when one of my bristlenose plecos disappeared, and I found it inside the filter box section of the hang-on-the-back filter of the tank.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't on the floor all crispy.
Yeah, it was fine. Or the time I had a goldfish who leapt out of the tank, and I had a goldfish tank at work, and this shoebunkin leapt out. I found it partially dried on the floor and was able to revive it. I mean, the outside of its skin and everything was dry to the touch, but it hadn't dried up inside all the way yet.
I don't remember what you did. Did you put it in the water and, like, swim it back and forth?
Yeah. And I revived it. Unfortunately, it died a few days later. It had this big patch of skin that had sort of gotten rubbed raw on the floor, and that...
Got infected?
It did something, yeah, so it didn't survive. But it did you know, revived to the point that it didn't look as if it were breathing, and then it was breathing and survived for a few days thereafter. So if you have any escape stories of fish that you'd like to share,
please. Hopefully with happier endings.
Yeah. Well, the one with the...
The bristlenose was fine.
It lived after that. It just disappeared for a while. But it was gone for a day or two, and when I found it, I think another bristlenose had chased it, and it had ended up in there. So, anyway, that it reminded me of that, to make that request. So, who's next?
We have Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who actually sent us a video.
And a Google voice message.
And an email?
Well, he sent us an email that includes his video.
To explain the video.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll read his email. It's brief. And then you guys can watch his video. And I guess we can listen to the Google voice.
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll cover all the bases.
So I'm going to go grab the speaker while you read that.
Okay. He says, "Hello, I thought I'd provide an update on my aquarium. I'm having a bit of an algae issue currently. My old sponge and my sponge filter was worn out and I had to replace it. I had two sponge filters running concurrently for a while, but the transition may have resulted in some bacterial die-off." And he's got a much longer update on his tank in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of shows what's going on there. He has some guppies and some neons, was it?
Neon tetras. He's got some olive nerites in there.
And a cat. The cat doesn't actually feature. He's just in the corner watching the tank.
Yeah, the cat's
But there is a cat.
There's a tank in the video. A cat in the video, yes.
He's watching the kitty TV.
So, we're going to pull up the Google voice message now. But you check out the video on the show page too, please.
Hey Cormac, this is Jeremiah calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I sent an email about the video on my aquarium. Just thought I'd catch the email not working. Anyway, calling on another update, unfortunately. I found a dead neon and a dead guppy on Thursday, and anytime I have a fish that passes away, I always do a water change to make sure that I take care of any sort of stickiness in the water. And losing two fish was bad enough, but while doing the water change with my python, my wife was asking me, how does a fish know not to go in there? Within a minute or two, a neon got sucked up, never to be seen again. Well, I did see it again, but not all of it. So just a reminder to everyone to, be careful with that. I thought I was being careful, but apparently not careful enough. So I decided that for my size of an aquarium, using the python to take the old water out isn't really necessary since I only have a 20 gallon. But the old siphon that I had was not working and I was really getting sick of trying the old put your mouth on one end of the siphon and to get it started and, you know, use some mouthwash or something. So with that in mind, I decided to use some equipment from one of my other hobbies, which is making wine, called an auto siphon. It's not going to work out very well if you have a lot of particulate because the intended use of it actually is to switch beer or wine that you've homebrewed from one vessel to another and leave all your particulates behind. But if you want to make water changes easier as far as actually taking out the actual water with the actual chemical toxins in it from your fish waste, I just tried it out. Works fine.
Oh, shoot. I had forgotten that one, it cut off right there.
Oh, I'm like, what button did I push?
No, it wasn't your fault. But it does cut off right there. But that's
interesting. Do we have another one?
Nope, that's where it
cuts off. That's just where it got.
That's where it ends off.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't last very long. The Google voice messages only go for 3 minutes. So that's what happened.
Okay,
there.
Well, that's an interesting repurposing.
Yeah. It reminds me of something. What was I going to say? I don't know. I forgot.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Yeah, that's a creative use for, and like you say, repurposing, that's good. I'd like to see a video of that. That's what I was going to say.
There you go.
See a video of exactly how that works. You know, I sometimes use the self-priming gravel washers or water-changing siphons that are made these days where all you have to do is shake the gravel wash end, and there's a one-way valve in there that traps the water in the tube and pulls it up so you don't have to worry about it. Because I don't like starting it with my mouth. In fact, I haven't done that in years.
Yeah, it's kind of
because
a very good idea.
There's a couple of reasons why I am especially cautious about it, because Mycobacterium, you know, we had that outbreak some years ago, and that is scary stuff, and it can infect people in certain situations. So I do like the self-priming gravel washers that are available these days, so that's something to think about. It might actually be kind of similar, but that's part of the reason I want to see the video about that. And in terms of the algae problem, sounds like you're doing a lot of the things that you need to be doing. One, you are stepping up your water changes. I definitely agree with that. And as you mentioned, you're stepping up the water change. When you notice any sort of death, it's always good to look for possible causes, but whether or not you find the cause, a good partial water change at that point is always a good idea. And you mentioned you've got the olive nerites in there. Of course, they will help a lot. And you said it's not a really big algae problem, and of course it's not. And if you watch the video, you'll notice that it's not a big problem. It's just kind of a minor issue. But one thing I would say is that I think the plant load might actually be a little low for the optimal level of algae competition.
So you want more plants?
Because most of the slow-growing species, yeah, most of the slow-growing species that you have in there, I mean, they're all fairly slow-growing, with the exception of the vals. They can go a little faster, but you don't have any, like, stem plants that I'm thinking of, like Rotala or, you know, something like that, Ludwigia or Ludwigia, depending on how you pronounce it, Hornwort, something like that that grows really fast, a stem plant that you can just harvest as a nutrient sponge, or maybe water sprite, something like that. Now, I noticed the pothos, you know, that's one another good measure. You're adding more plant biomass, and it has access to atmospheric CO2, so the fact that there are low levels of CO2 in the water, not going to slow it down, and that's good. That can help. But that's just something that occurred to me when I was looking there. It looks cool. I like how the tank looks, but I'm just saying that a little bit more plant biomass in terms of fast-growing stem plants could help take care of some more of that algae. Pull some more of that from the water column. And I think that is about it on that one. So thank you, Jeremiah, for the video and the message. And hopefully that helps.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Shall we go to Australia?
Yes, let's.
Okay. Matt says, howdy, Aquarimax. I have now put in some live rock as the photos I have attached show. So he sent us pictures of his marine tank that he's been putting together.
Mm-hmm. I'll pull up the pictures for you after you're done reading it.
Okay. He says, I am proud of my marine 54-liter, which is 14.2 gallons tank, and the live rock that currently inhabits it. The nitrites are currently reading zero, and the ammonia is 0.25 parts per million. What I am confused about is if the tank has cycled. I feel like there should be a spike in ammonia, but 0.25 parts per million is the second lowest reading on my ammonia test, the lowest being zero. So my instinct is the tank has not started to cycle yet. I was listening to Reef Threads podcast, and they said if you put in well-established live rock into a tank, that can cycle it much faster than the usual time. So should I add the clownfish to force a spike, or just hope that it will happen by itself? Or maybe the live rock was cultured enough that there won't be a normal ammonia cycle. It is all a bit confusing. What are your thoughts?
Okay.
Those are very good questions.
They are indeed. I'm going to show you the pictures, first of all.
Okay.
I want you to see what we're referencing here. There's Matt's email. And this is the tank. There's some of the live rock. There's the tank from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep going there.
It's a snail or something?
A little snail. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And we will, of course, put those up.
Yeah, we'll put those up so everybody can see them. Well, I've got a couple of questions for you, Matt, that may, hopefully, shed some light on the subject here. What are your nitrates reading from that tank? Because, of course, one of the telltale signs that there is a successful cycle going on is that you have nitrates. So it might be interesting to do a comparison of the nitrate reading you get from your tap water, or if you're using RO water, you know, it depends on what you're using to make your salt mix, I guess. If it's RO water, you shouldn't have any nitrates in it, not anything measurable. If you are using tap water, oh, but wait, he used ocean water, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. Would it kind of already be cycled then if it's already...
Okay. Well,
how does that work?
That's an interesting thing to think about. Okay. Well, he's definitely, by using seawater, he's going to be introducing bacteria in, but they won't necessarily be the sort of bacteria that he needs to be able to cycle the tank. The live rock, on the other hand, will be introducing the correct bacteria that he needs. But I would say...
How fast can it make it go? The live rock makes it go faster. I don't know how long a normal marine tank cycle is. How long... It varies. Freshwater, yeah.
My understanding from my reading is that it's a little bit slower in a saltwater tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in terms of just talking about the bacteria and how quickly they reproduce from that standpoint.
Okay.
I also... excuse me. My voice is really trying to go here. As Matt says, introducing live rock can definitely speed it up. But, excuse me while I take a sip of water here. Thank you. I think that helped. Where was I? I was talking about the live rock can definitely speed up the cycle.
Yeah.
And I agree there. But there are a lot of different variables going on. I would say if you're getting measurable ammonia that, like you said, Matt, your cycle's probably not completed yet. You are in the early stages
and it'll go
that measurable ammonia, and I would wait before putting fish in.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's probably going to go up before it goes down. And at the very least, it's going to be there a little while before it starts disappearing. And that could be days, it could be weeks, but... that you want that ammonia reading to be zero, and the fact that it is there, that there is an ammonia reading, is a good sign from the standpoint that a cycle is going to occur because bacteria will come in to take advantage of it. But it's difficult to say how long it might take them. So I would say, yeah, go ahead and wait. How long has that live rock been in the tank? I've kind of lost track of that. I remember you telling us you were going to get some, but I'm not sure how long it's exactly been there. Has it been in there for the past week, just a couple of days? Or, you know, that's something to think about as well. Also, it looks like you showed us a picture of a snail in there, and that's good. If you have little critters that are living in there from the live rock, snails, pods, you know, copepods, amphipods, isopods, that sort of thing, that are zipping around in there, they're going to be producing ammonia to get the cycle, you know, to keep the cycle going. So I wouldn't worry too much about wanting to add anything else. And a lot of those creatures are going to be hardier than a clownfish would be in terms of handling the ammonia. So I would just sit back and wait. It's not fun, but I would do it. Like right now, my office, I've got I've got a 10-gallon and a 5.5-gallon that I'm going to add Opiula to. And I added some actually about a month ago, I think. Was it a month? No, it's only been a couple. Maybe it was right after we came back from... It's been a couple weeks. Maybe 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that, since we got back from Disneyland. I added some, and then just a very few, to the tank. And I wanted to wait until everything settled down a little bit, and I'm still waiting, because I've seen them dart out of the rocks and stuff a couple of times. But they're not acting normal yet, and so I'm waiting and waiting until they calm down, come out of the rocks, and I don't want to tax the Milo too much. So, it's not fun, but that's what I'm doing. So, I think that would be the best course of action in this case, too.
Okay.
But it might be interesting also to test the nitrates of the water he puts in, like next time he goes and collects seawater, and it could vary, of course, but test it before he puts it in the tank, and then test some from the tank and see what the nitrate levels are.
See how it's comparing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Alrighty. Do we have anything else?
I don't think we have anything else this week.
Let's take your voice.
My voice is going to kick out pretty soon, so we will look forward to next week.
May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.